Good morning. The last time I spoke, one of the comments I got was they thought my purview was teaching. If I was someone that took things to heart, that probably would bother me, but I think so too. I had him read the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, and it may sound like I'm going in reverse here because verse 13 in Ecclesiastes 12 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So it says there, that's the conclusion of all things. It simply states, serve God. You need to fear Him, not like we cower in a corner, but to fear out of reverence. Now, if I was to ask you a question, if you didn't know me and I didn't know you, and I was going to interview you, and I said, how would you describe you? Who are you? Have you ever thought about that? Because a lot of times, if you were to do an interview for a company, they want to know, well, who are you? Well, one of the things that we should realize is, one of the best answers would be, I am mind, body, soul, and spirit. And I walk upon this earth like everyone else. But the thing is, all of us seem to be missing it. And it was brought out in the class. Brother Ed brought this out about when he said, who cares? Well, the one answer and the biggest problem that we have sometimes in society, and I know that it gets repeated over the years, is people have lost their first love. They have lost the spirit. And remember, we are a spirit. If you go back in Ecclesiastes, it talks about when you die, the spirit returns to God, the body returns to the dust. Just a few verses before what I read. Everybody seems to worry about everything except for the main thing. The main thing in our lives is eternal life. This whole marathon that we are on, however long it lasts, remember, God holds that in His hand, your very life. So whether it ends today or 50 years from now or the world stands another 1,000, that's up to God. But most of the time, most everyone on this planet worries about everything except for serving God and who they really are. Because we are spirit, and God seeks those that are spiritual to serve Him. Now, if you go to Matthew 6, and it lays it out pretty plain on how the world looks at everything. Now, I'm one of those people. I don't really want to say it as easy come, easy go, but I don't really get anxious about a lot of things. I let my wife do that, and I'll hear about this for weeks. But it is true that most men don't worry or have the anxiety of all these things that seem to accumulate in our lives. And I'm one of those that don't. I can be poor, be just happy as if I have money. Because I've done better in this life because God has blessed me more than I ever thought possible from the humble beginnings that I came from. Of course, we live in the greatest nation on earth, and it is possible to achieve many things. But if you go to Matthew 6 and you look at verses 25 through 33, what does it tell us there? It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, it always says, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. That's in the seventh chapter, of course. But one of the things that people seem to lose track of is if we're only worried about things, we lose self. We lose our spirit because you become the things that you surround yourself with. In the Matthew 7, of course, it says, in the seventh verse, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one of you ask, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It is up to the individual to seek out and work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. God has given us a roadmap, and he has given us a spirit in us that in conjunction with the Holy Spirit will help us on this path. You know, nobody can do things on their own. Christ is the one that we can lean upon in this life. If only we could put out that message, and I guess when I get to the invitation, I'll do that because I thought of this when we were in the class, so I added it to my sermon here today, was the fact that, you know, we are spiritual beings, and the entire world cries out to God, but they don't know how. They need us to show them. And we should always be ready to give every man an answer of the hope that lies in us. Of course, that hope is Jesus Christ. God the Father gave his Son that we should have the hope of eternal life. But it is through obedience. It is through patience. It is through perseverance. Though the body fail us, we should press on. Because this life is a marathon. Now, in John, the fourth chapter, of course, we have earlier in this, it's the Jesus, of course, is talking to the Samaritan woman. But when we get to verse 23 and 24 of this fourth chapter, it tells us that the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in going along with this, we go over here to Romans, the eighth chapter. What does it tell us? It tells us here in the first verse, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be cardinally minded, and please keep this in mind, to be cardinally minded, worldly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because a cardinal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, meaning we must be spiritual. We must seek Him spiritually. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And in Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus, remember, God is a Spirit, from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or make dead the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what is it telling us here? God is providing us everything that we need for a completion in serving Him. And we need to awaken that Spirit that's in us. You know, it's like they say, let your light shine. Well, what is the light that's in you? The light, of course, is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, which works through us with our spirit together. So when we look at also in this, it looks at how we will be judged. You know, when man looks at you, they're going to see, like I said at the start of this, when it says, okay, who do you think you are? How do you describe yourself? So do people, are you guilty of being a Christian? I've heard that one before several times. You know, the old fire and brimstone preachers used to throw that out there quite a bit. Could you be convicted? So when you look at the fact that you need to be a spiritual person, well, how do you ever get to the point? And you talked about this too, because it talked about in Hebrews there that they had not progressed. You know, a Christian life is taken the one step at a time. Baptism is only the beginning. Once you come up out of the watery grave, and it says, you know, you put on this new likeness. You put on Christ. You become, behold, you become a new creature. So if you're going to do that, and like I said, that's only the start. Because there is no such thing in here. I've scoured the Bible over when people want to talk about once saved, always saved. I can't find that. Because it always talks about a progression. A starting point that we are going towards an ending point, of course, and that's at home in heaven. But in between, there is this gathering of knowledge. Everyone here learns things at a different rate. We all understand them differently. Now, a lot of people like to hear the silver tongue speaker. And that's all fine and dandy, but, you know, they talked about people that read and read, and there are people that make it a point to read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelations. But then if I start quizzing them on stuff, they've just read it. There's a difference in reading and there's a difference in understanding. And the thing that God wants us to do, working through, the Spirit working through us, is to have an understanding of what His will is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what where understanding comes. And God has already set in motion here in Romans, going still in the 8th chapter, verses 28 through about 34. Where it talks about how He foreknown and He predestined. Some people say that He chose you before you were born. No, He gives you the opportunity. And He did know you before you were born. But you are given. Just think about Samson, all the twists and turns he took before. And he was born and was chosen to be a judge. And yet he went off on all these different ways and got married to start a war. So all different things that he done. But God gives you everything. It can lay right out in front of you. He calls you to be His servant. And in verse 28 of the 8th chapter of Romans, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that" what? "Love God. To them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Remember, when you come up out of the watery grave, behold, you are a new creature. We are joint heirs with Christ." And it says, "Firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate them to all, He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" I would like for people to actually take that to heart when they think about it. If God is for us, who can stand in our way? "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Also in this chapter, we have verses 35 through 39. And we look at these. And you think about what he said here. God put all these in. We have the teachers that he chose along the way. You have to think about all the different ones who were put in a position, and sometimes they didn't really take the opportunity. And you have those that served without question. You think about Abraham going to offer Isaac. And you think, then of course Moses, he was chosen, and it took him to the very young age of 80 to really turn it around. So think about that for a while. That sometimes it takes a while for people to come around. Just because you impart the word and plant the seed doesn't mean that someone's just going to jump on it. Sometimes it takes a little time. And over time, maybe the things that you have told them to either look up or maybe discuss with them will come back to them in time. Maybe something's happening in their life. Maybe there's something going on and they start looking into the Word of God and it makes a difference. It's uplifting. It helps them to start understanding what's going on in their life. But the latter part of this 8th chapter tells us a thing that we have, even in the worst of times. Verse 35 in Romans 8 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation?" We know that as the problems come in our life, people do the "why me" instead of the "why not me." People also look at it as when we have distress. Some distress can come from outer, from the people around you and places you're at, but some of it can come from your own mind. Persecution, we know, comes from others, and we know that this may come in our lifetime, as sad as it may be. We are a country that once was on based on the scriptures. Most everything in this country was based on, I keep trying to say the word in my head, but it won't come out. Can't do it. Judeo-Christian. I couldn't get the word out correctly. Okay, you said it. I heard it. The entire country was based on free men being able to worship God. And the one thing that comes is it could be persecution. So far, most of us don't look like we've missed a meal, but we could have famine. It talks about nakedness, not having clothes to wear. And then it talks about peril. That could be anything from man-made or nature, or the sword, which means those that can come against you with violence. But as it is written, "For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Remember, We are sheep. We are servants. And here it's talking about that we are willing, basically, to give our lives if necessary, because it counts us as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The only thing that can separate you from the love of God is you. You are usually your worst enemy when it comes to serving God and doing his commandments. We sometimes don't know how to get out of our own way. We spend a lot of time thinking about different ways to make excuses for our life. All right, I was told before I give the invitation that I'm supposed to ask if you have any questions, and then I have sermon for the last when I close. So, anybody have any questions that they have? I was told this happens now. Hit me with your best shot and I'll defer to Bill. I can pass. Yes. Go ahead, Jerry. I'm listening.
God is spirit and is truth. Is that something that happens automatically when you come together? Or do we have to do something special?
Okay, let me see if I understand. God is spirit and truth. Does it happen when we come together? Is that what you just said?
When we worship God in spirit and in truth, does that happen automatically when we come together? Or do we have to do something special?
I don't know that we always have to come together for that to happen. I think it can also happen individually. And I think that there could be people, like when we come together, that could be totally in on the spiritual side, and some people bring Satan with them. That can happen too. But I think it does happen pretty much automatically if everybody's on the same page. Have you ever been to services where everything happened just like clockwork, where the songs went with the sermon, yet no one knew what the sermon was, and everything else, prayers, everything just happened in complete order? Even the table talk all went together. All working together for good. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else? Bill, you got off on them. All right, I guess if I covered all the bases, then we're good. All right, and before I give the invitation, I will read 1 Peter 3 and 15, because I want people to know, and I've always had this asked to me, about, it's like people don't understand this verse. But it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope, meaning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you have accepted him and you have the hope of eternal life, that is in you with meekness and fear. Being always able to give an answer to every man that asketh." Because people go, "Well, I can't answer every question." No. You're missing the point. You have to tell them, why are you a Christian? Why do you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And that simplifies this verse. Makes it a whole lot easier than thinking you're going to have to answer every question that someone gives you. And I will leave you with this as we stand and sing the invitation song. Thank you.